When you're interviewing for a job with a criminal record, it's like having an elephant in the room. Nobody wants to acknowledge it, but it's there, and it'll be the reason you won't get the job before you face a felony. Talk to an attorney who understands the importance of a clean record.
Call attorney Frank Walker, 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip. Trip. Triple.
And Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
Duffy's Beer Morning Show here on Trib Live Radio. Laird, Junker, Benz, Josh Taylor out until tomorrow with his big four-day weekend. Rob Rossi is going to move back to 11:30, so we'll get Rob on here in just a bit. Big weekend, though.
Narcissus hangover.
Hit that horn.
Who, Rob? Oh, Rob, I think, is probably having a cup of coffee with his good buddy Sid. Talking about trying to get him back on track offensively.
Rossi was praising the Steelers' D today.
He's still trying to add up the points against West Virginia.
0-3 in the Big 12, West Virginia.
Oh, how about this? So I'm doing the West Virginia highlights, and I finished the thing, you know, taped the sports for Sunday morning, and I said, West Virginia winless in the conference. I get this email from somebody yesterday. West Virginia lost that game because they wouldn't call any penalties against the other team, and they're not winless in the conference. They beat Georgia Southern, Liberty Baptist, whatever the three wins they are. I should have just let it go. I had to send an email back. Do you understand what the Big 12 is? They're 0-3 in the Big 12.
Was it Josh Taylor who sent the email?
It could have been a 10-year-old kid. That's the problem. Why I get mad I shouldn't have responded. But yeah, they gave up 62 points because they wouldn't call any penalties on the other team.
Well, what a flip of perception in college football. We all thought, I thought, West Virginia had a chance a couple games in to be the best of the three local teams that we pay attention to here based on their defense. Now they're 0-3 in the conference. Penn State. Something's wrong with the Donovan offense there. I don't know what's going on, Guy, but, I mean, maybe he's
the thing about that game is, though, they had their chances. I mean, you know. It's not the offensive coordinator's fault that Gesicki drops a ball at the 20-yard line when they have a chance to go up 10-0. They dominated the first quarter. They weren't just nursing a 3-0 lead. They dominated. 3-and-out Ohio State field goal. 3-and-out Ohio State. Touchdown called back on a very iffy holding call. It could have been 10-0. You know, Kirk Herbstreit does a nice job, but when he does Ohio State games, he makes me want to puke. Penn State gets a 44-yard touchdown run called back on a hold. Well, that's, you know, you can't, he's locked up there. You can't, and it was iffy. But the exact same kind of block later on, that play was made by that block right there when I think it was Ezekiel Elliott scored or what, I can't remember.
That's Tim's old buddy, Herbie.
But things aren't going well there offensively, and I'm not sure that coordinator's long for that job. But they coaching wise, they should have had a lead, a 2-score lead in the second quarter.
Franklin related? Like, is he going to start coming under the hot seat there?
No, I don't think so. They do not have a full complement of people. Every time they get an injury, he's replaced by a walk-on. They have no scholarship players on special teams. I keep saying this. Nobody wants to listen. Oh, Penn State got all their scholarships back. It's going to be 2 years before the kids that they're even recruiting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're almost all freshmen playing. All these running backs are true freshmen. You know, I expected them to get their ass kicked. What bothers me, what I'm saying about the coordinator is, though, that wasn't all coaching. Some of that was execution. They were in position to really be in that game at halftime. And when you're dropping balls and holding on a 44-yard run that had nothing to do with the run, he's going to score on that without that iffy hold anyway. So,
okay. Well,
and I've always thought Hackenberg has a bit of an attitude. He's not my, you know, I just don't care for his demeanor. I think he thinks he's better than everybody else, and I think he can't wait to get out of there. And but if he's a top five pick, I know that all these NFL scouts, and I've heard Trent Dilfer talking about him, and they think they can work with him. It's his body type, and maybe that's true, but I see him miss wide open guys
he's
all the time that
rock.
Has nothing to do with their coordination.
Right.
The maybe, Cal kid is the one to watch.
Maybe the Ravens can draft him.
The guy from Cal. That's the
first pick of the draft.
He's next Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I forget. No, but his numbers are off the charts.
Yeah, they are.
And the pro scouts are starting to say this is the kid. I saw he's up to number 3 on most quarterback boards. And like he's past Cardale Jones, past Hackenberg. And I'll look into it a little bit more.
Hell, Cardell's falling like a rock himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that you know, they had to put Barrett in, and they were terrible in the red zone. Barrett makes them lethal in the red zone. But, you know, overall, I mean, Penn State's got two losses, both to ranked teams. The number one team in the country with the longest winning streak in a game that they were in for a quarter and a half.
Goff, and Jared Goff, that's his name.
A Temple team that's now 22nd. And I'm glad to see Pitt got in the top 25. When you're looking, Iowa destroyed a ranked Northwestern team on Saturday. They're undefeated. They only beat Pitt by a 59-yard field goal or whatever.
Moral victory? Can we revisit my stance on Pitt, Iowa, when it happened?
There are no moral victories.
Tim?
No.
Why?
Because...
Be happy that you're headed toward 9 wins and a free pizza.
Believe me, I'm happy at that.
Who'd you bet with that?
Us two.
I sent a picture of a Giovanni's pizza right to Josh and Tim right after that win on the road to 9.
You still got to take care of Duke. Still got to make sure you win those last two games at home. And then you also got...
They made believers out of me. This was the game that I thought they would choke on. You know, a good Georgia Tech team that had underperformed, and they didn't.
Well, I don't want to get back into the whole moral argument with you again.
Pretty gutsy final drive. Going for it at the 50-yard line on fourth down.
That was awesome.
That was 5 minutes left when they did that, or 3 minutes?
I have no ties to Pitt. They're my favorite team in town right now. I love watching them right now. But, young, aggressive, up-and-coming, like just coming into their own. They're fun to watch.
The issue with Pitt that jumped off the screen at me watching was, if you consider their past history and how they've lost games like this, this is the ultimate stub-your-toe, typical Pitt loss. I was listening to a lot of that game before I got to watch it, and it was just, you know, the back and forth. They'd score. They'd let Georgia Tech score. It's like, here we go again, just like Georgia Tech of years gone by, or North Carolina or Duke, one of these games where...
Yeah, they take a 13-play drive to score, and then Georgia Tech scored in 3 plays.
Right, all in this option, long run, you know, long seam that's hit, whatever. It just felt very familiar. And then when they got in position to win the game, and they took the two pre-snap penalties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, this is, like, we call it the most Cleveland Browns loss ever when the guy jumped off sides and the missed field goal. This was going to be the most Pitt loss ever.
Too many in the huddle.
Right.
Was one of them.
And they still almost got away with it until they recounted them, right? Didn't they have to recount them?
Yeah, review. That's right.
They had to review it and look at it to see, yes, in fact, there were 12 guys on the field. So now you've got Blewett back to a 56-yarder, and he freaking nails it.
That was incredible.
I thought, I was at the gym watching that game, and there was like 4 women on the machines and then 6 guys all using the weights, and all the guys just stopped. We might as well have just gotten a 6-pack and brought it to the gym. There's no working out getting done.
Bro.
No, there's none of that going on. We should have just cracked a few beers and watched it, because this is what we're doing. We're working out. We're just watching the game. And I actually turned away at one point after the second penalty. Said, oh, they're going to punt. And I went to the next machine, and I heard some guy go, oh, I think he's going to get it. And I looked up, and that's exactly when the ball was going through the uprights. I can't believe they went for it. You know, they gave the kid a shot, and he nailed it.
If he misses that, they have a minute 11 left to, you know,
and the ball
near midfield.
Yeah. Right. Gutsy call and a great kick. I mean, right. And Pitt couldn't stop their option. Paul Johnson, he blew that game in part. I mean, they, for some reason, on some of their drives,
they weren't built to score in a minute 11 there. That's not the way, you know.
Right. When they get behind, they're in trouble. But earlier in the game, they got away from the option. It worked every time, and for some reason, they were starting to throw it. I think because Pitt had a bunch of injuries in the secondary, and they thought, let's take advantage of it, because Whitehead's out, and Patrick Amara left, and they outthought themselves. So, I mean, like you say, it was a close game, but for Pitt to not be Pitt, not same old Pitt. Yet another sign it's a new team.
Well, the kicker prevented it because they were the same old Pitt.
Well,
you get two pre-snap penalties in that situation.
Syracuse give them a game to him, you think?
Syracuse blew it in a very typical Syracuse fashion as well last week. Syracuse can get after the quarterback. That's the one thing they can do. And Dungey is a very creative, athletic. He'll be good in 2 years. I still think Pitt wins that game.
And their road schedule's almost done. They're most of the rest of the season after Saturday. They're
4-5 at home after the trip to the Dome this weekend.
With the Thursday nighter against North Carolina.
Which might be for the division. I mean, they have a chance to win the division and play Clemson for the conference. That's what the expectation should be now.
And it's first Saturday in December in Charlotte? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, what would that be like? I mean, Narduzzi, people are already afraid he's going to leave after 1 year, and he might. But still, you take what you could get. If it's a one-year run of a coach, he has done an excellent job with mostly the same players as last year, right? I mean, some new, Peterman's new, and Whitehead's new, but...
Well, to me, it makes Chris look like a bum even more.
Yeah, which he was. SportsTalk at TribWeb.com.
All right, a bum of a coach, great guy.
I'll take your word for that.
When does Florida State play Clemson? Because you said play Clemson for the ACC championship. They haven't played each other yet, right?
That's true. Clemson's undefeated. I guess that's why I lumped them in there.
Florida State's undefeated as well, right? Yeah, they're still undefeated.
Okay. They play each other in November.
Okay. And Duke, got to remember Duke, too, not just North Carolina and the Coastal. They got to beat Duke as well. Duke's probably there.
Duke's tough. North Carolina's tough.
The Duke game's here, right?
North Carolina has that kid Marquise Williams, their quarterback, who's a great runner.
Because the Duke game's the one that blew last year, right?
Yeah, it was a high-scoring. Yeah, I think it was.
He missed an easy field goal.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, these are decent teams, right? Duke and North Carolina, but they're not. It's not the SEC. If you have a good team, you have a Tyler Boyd. Shouldn't your expectations be to win this conference based on the talent we're watching here? Am I pumping them up too much?
A bit.
It's Duke and North Carolina.
Win the division, not the conference.
Win the division, yeah. They're not close.
I wouldn't give
them
much of a shot against Florida State or Clemson.
If they had James Conner, maybe we'd be talking about that. I mean, Olsen's look good.
November 7th, the game's at Clemson, Florida State at Clemson.
That's a big game. You just don't want to pump them up because they're playing Syracuse this week.
They're going to beat Syracuse. I know they're going to beat Syracuse. I'm not holding
out any hope. Are you going to the game?
I'm still considering it. I might be a last-minute read at the line of scrimmage. Check with me.
Joel in Fargo in the far reaches of our country.
If you go, you got to bring us back some of them cookies.
Insomnia cookies, yeah. Don't worry, please. The Dome will not be sold out for this one. I don't think Pitt's going to bring as many as LSU did.
I hope the Pitt-Carolina game is a great Thursday night crowd, though. I don't know what they're going to draw for that, but let's say they go to Syracuse and win, and they come back 6-1 for that game against an unbeaten Carolina team. That might be a first in, 15 years big game in Heinz Field?
Carolina has one loss.
I mean, yeah, in the conference they're unbeaten, yeah. Or do you think they'll be half empty again for Pitt for Thursday night?
45,000.
Oh, God.
Legitimate 45,000, 50,000 maybe.
Maybe it depends on weather. I don't know.
What is that? That's two nights before Halloween. That's what that is. Right? Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else would be. Do the Penguins play? That's the thing. You're drawing from people that aren't going to go to every Pitt game just because Pitt's playing. They got to go because it's a big-time sporting event.
Yeah, it's a week from this Thursday.
Had you ever seen the stands look as empty for a Steeler game as they did after halftime, the start of that third quarter?
Oh, yeah, it was weird. It was raining.
All of a sudden, the clouds opened up, and it was cold, and it was just nasty weather, and no one came out from the clubs, and everybody was hiding under the Jumbotron and on the ramps. And it looked like, Cleveland Municipal Stadium or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, just one more thing on Pitt, Tim, because I know you said that it was almost Pitt being Pitt in the worst way. But they went for it twice on fourth down, converted it on the run, and then got Tyler Boyd on a pass play on a 4th-and-2.
That was at the 37. I didn't think that was a big gamble there.
You didn't?
No.
That's still a great catch, I thought. I mean,
but I think that was with 3 minutes left, and I think the one at midfield was with 5 minutes left. That's a gamble there.
I just think Pitt deserves some credit there too.
Oh, they do. That last 5 minutes was great.
I deserve credit. I'm not trying to diminish the loss. I'm just saying that maybe that's a sign that they tried to make themselves into what they have always been with those two pre-snap penalties.
Oh, the penalties were bad.
And then the kicker came through and bailed him out. And that's what happens when you have a good team. You set yourself up for failure, and then somebody steps up and prevents that from happening. In this case, of all things, it was the kicker.
Joel emails, can you guys please explain to me why Tomlin went for two rather than kick the extra point? Wouldn't being up by three be the obvious Tomlin pun choice there with Landry at quarterback? It made no sense at all other than his arrogance to, quote, not live in his fears.
That and outthinking himself, overcooking the decision. Which is what every coach is doing now with this two-point conversion crap.
Chris emails, I'm amazed how badly Vic reads defenses. For a veteran, it's so obvious he doesn't process what he's seeing quickly enough to be effective. He legitimately should have 5 interceptions due to his being late on throws.
Yes, he has had more dropped interceptions against than I think any quarterback in football.
Chris says, I don't know that Landry won't poop the bed next week, but at least he seems capable of reading defenses and reacting to what they're doing. Shout out to the D and barking hamstring. Come on, Tim.
Well, I mean,
sky high.
You gotta think
there it is. Let's show the cameras again. Sky high.
Is there any chance that Ben plays next week? I think there is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There might be.
I think he's in the mix.
10%?
He was moving. I told you guys when I watched him put his socks on in San Diego, it looked like he was wincing sitting in his locker. I think he's moving a lot better watching him yesterday help beach him off the field than he was earlier in the week.
Yeah, they've gotten two wins now, and they've got a game coming up against a 1-5 team. I wonder if he lets that process a bit to get an extra week. Plus, it's Kansas City, and he knows what happens when he plays against Kansas City. He gets hurt. They've done it to him twice now.
That's true. Get you ready for the Bengals game, November 1.
Now, if you're talking about, you know, Pitt being Pitt, in recent years, this would be a game where the Tomlin-coached Steeler team, when they're starting to play well and feel good about themselves, goes on the road and loses to a lesser team. There's been a lot of those in Tomlin's tenure.
Yeah.
I don't think they're 1-5 bad.
Kansas City,
but
they might be now that Charles is out.
Yeah, maybe. They couldn't run at all against the Vikings, who, though, do have a good defense, as we're looking at the stats here today. At least per the stats they do. What are the odds? I probably have come out already for that game. 3.5. Pittsburgh favored on the road by 3.5 right now.
With a backup quarterback.
With Landry Jones and a Mike Vick. Sam emails up, 4-2 is still good, but the Steelers could be 5-1 or 6-0 if Haley doesn't call a dumbass trick play on the first drive against New England.
It very easily could be 3-3.
And the kicker actually makes kicks. The Colts trick punt was hilarious.
No one ever looks at the games that you should have lost and you managed to win. They just look at the games that you should have won
And
lost.
That play the Colts pulled out, Sam says, is the play where Zeppelin got the name for communication breakdown. What we've got here.
I watched it again. I still don't know what they were thinking when they snapped it.
Yeah, that's where they shouldn't have snapped it.
The Jagoff kid who snapped it was the one that then covered the game with the touchdown at the end. Caught the ball in the end zone. Same guy.
Did you see Penn State snap the ball into their man in motion Saturday night?
No.
I think it was Polk. He's running, and the ball got snapped, and it hit him right as he was running in motion behind the center.
Hey, Mr. Protect the Quarterback, since that's your thing. Let's go back to that Mike Vick play. What is the defender supposed to do there?
What, on the knee of the helmet?
No. On the flag in the end zone.
Oh, on the helmet to helmet. I didn't see a good look.
It hit his helmet. I don't even know if there was actual helmet to helmet contact there. I think it was actually a shoulder pad.
I didn't see it. I also thought, you know, the James Harrison forced fumble. Two Harrison plays. Will he get fined on this week? One, his forced fumble, where he comes over and crushes the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hit him pretty much in the chest, I think, but the elbow came up and knocked his helmet off, didn't it? So is that a penalty?
Did his helmet pop off on that?
I think the guy's helmet.
There was a play where a helmet popped off. Yes, it was that play. Yep. Yeah.
And then in the end zone, when he's coming back to block for Mike Mitchell after his pick, he just lays the guy out.
He'll get fined for that one, I think.
But they hadn't been touched down, so, I mean, really, like Harrison said, I hope not. I'm going to have to raise hell about that because he was coming back and Mitchell hadn't been touched. So he has the right to block. I just don't know if he's got the right to block that meanly, you know?
I thought that the ref had blown the play dead, though.
Okay, that might be what they were suggesting.
I thought the ref assumed he gave himself up.
See, three of Kansas City losses are by a touchdown or less. They only lost at Green Bay by 10. The only team that's really blown them out is Cincinnati. And they were 4-0 in the preseason, including wins over Seattle and Arizona, for what that's worth. So I agree with the overall premise that they're better than 1-5.
But they're 1-5.
But they're 1-5, and I think they're losing players left and right.
And when you've lost five in a row, you're reeling, right?
I mean, yeah.
You got to take advantage of that. It's opening up for them. Paul emails. Paul says, I'm starting to believe in the Steelers again, guys. Perfect time for a flop against the Chiefs, though. Should we be worried about another lineman being lost?
Of course you long term, absolutely.
Especially, like I said, now left tackle becomes the premium position
that's
again.
A great point that I didn't even think of. This week, if they win this week, let's say for argument's sake, they win this week and beat Cincinnati, they'd be a half game out because Cincinnati's got a bye. Cincinnati'd be 6-1. The Steelers would be 5-2 or 6-2. Then
you'd go to 6-2. Yeah, with your bye week still coming.
So it looked like that Cincinnati was running away with things. You very easily could be half a game behind them in 2 weeks.
Who's the next team in line for the wild cards? The Jets, right?
Jets, yeah.
Gee whiz, there's a lot of
Steelers and the Jets.
Bad football in the AFC right
terrible
now.
Terrible teams. I mean, look
Jets
at
Jets defense is good.
I guess the Bills are 3-3, right? So they're sort of hanging around. But the only other team, everybody else,
they
is
lost
two
Watkins,
teams.
And they might have lost Kyle Williams yesterday too,
right? Houston's 2-4. Oakland, San Diego, 2-win teams.
What did I tell you about that South Division?
No, it's bad. I think the Colts, though, did show me something last night. I know they had the trick play everybody's focusing on, but Luck's getting healthier. They're going to be something by the end of the year.
I don't know, Ken.
They can throw the ball.
I think New England.
My pick for the Super Bowl.
Colts?
Yeah.
I think New England backed off the Colts throttle Packers. On that. Did you see the first half at all? Like, did you see how they scored one of their touchdowns?
Yeah, the pick six.
The pick six. Julian Edelman breaks his finger and then can't catch a ball for the next 15 minutes. He dropped two, and then the third one, he just couldn't handle it.
Does he have a broken finger?
Well, dislocated, broken, something. I don't know, but he was obviously working on it after he caught the touchdown pass. He was shaking it and didn't want to come out of the game, so of course Brady keeps throwing him the ball, but he couldn't handle it. And on the third one, it popped in the air, and it was right in the hands of the Colt defender, and he took it up the sidelines for a touchdown. So that was a gift six right there.
It was. I just don't think they're one of the better teams in the league.
The Colts, still?
Colts, yes.
I don't think so. I mean, seeing them this year on a few occasions, I don't think they're all that good.
They're going to get better.
You know, defensively is where they needed to get better, and then they paid all that attention to offense. They brought in veteran, aging offensive guys that I don't know how much they've helped them.
That two-game stretch, three-game stretch, Steelers after the bye week at Seattle, okay? Seattle's had some struggles putting teams away there.
Suddenly doesn't look all that much of a layup loss as we thought it was when the schedule came out, right?
Right. Sunday night then against the Colts at Heinz Field. Tough game.
Yeah, I think they'd be lucky to split those two. I think still going to Seattle would be tough.
Then at the Bengals, then Denver at home. Well, that's a tough four-game stretch after
the bye week. Thing that's starting, you're talking about the Jets and the other teams that are in the wild card, the thing is to start looking at this conference record right now because that's going to become key. The Jets are 3-0 in the conference.
Oh,
Steelers
are
1-2. And you look around to some of the Bengals are 5-0 in the AFC. I mean, you know, that's the thing. The Steelers are perfect against the NFC, and that's not helping them much.
Yeah, they're going to win the NFC West.
That's right.
Chris in the South Hills says, I just wanted to drop in, guys, and say hail to Pitt. So happy to see my Panthers move to 5-1 and crack the top 25. Honestly, was pretty surprised to see them ranked. Not sure they deserved
it. Boy, not me. I thought Saturday night they would get in.
You thought?
Yep.
I mean, like, guys, teams like Toledo are in the top 25. So, you know, if Pitt's 5-1 in the ACC, yeah.
Temple's in the top 25, did you say?
The 22nd.
Good Lord.
They're unbeaten, Ken. They were bowl eligible last year. You wouldn't listen to me.
They almost lost to UMass.
They beat
Penn
State.
This year?
They beat Cincinnati. They beat Miami. Man, I'm not sure.
They stink.
They do not.
SportsTalk at TribWeb.com.
Oh, if they stink, Iowa stinks.
Temple's 22 in one poll, 24 in the other. It's funny to look. You see Ole Miss 23rd, Temple 24th, Georgia 25th. Temple's between Ole Miss and Georgia. Wow.
Something ain't right there. Chris says, P.S. James and State College certainly has to be taking notice of Pitt's record this year.
By the way, just to kind of follow up with the point about like being surprised that Pitt is
why
ranked.
Why wouldn't he be taking note of their record this year?
You know, didn't he call in the brand X as James and State College, and I think that's what he's referring to.
Oh.
You look at the teams that are at the bottom of the top 25, like Memphis is in at 18, Toledo's in at 19, Houston's in at 21, Temple's in at 22.
Houston's in the top 25.
Yep, they're 6-0. Duke's in at 23. So, you know, you got one other team from the ACC and some mid-major schools that have crept in there. So let's not be completely surprised that Pitt got in. In the other poll, they are not quite in yet. They're among others receiving votes at 32. Right behind, you guessed it, Paul Christ and your Wisconsin Badgers.
Well, you know who was in receiving votes and in line to move into the top 25 was Penn State till Saturday. They had votes in both polls last week. They would have been like 27th and 28th. So that can change in a hurry at the bottom there. But if you have one loss and it's to an undefeated team, you should be in the top 25.
We're talking about Narduzzi maybe flying the coop after one season.
I probably shouldn't have brought that up, but it's out there.
USC?
Yeah, that's already out there. Somebody said Tomlin to USC.
What?
There were like tweets about that.
What? Who put that out there?
Some national
USC.
Show.
USC.
some national show said they should go after Tomlin. Like, not that the reporting that it was going to happen, but USC should go hard after Mike Tomlin, which is pretty ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Well, then Narduzzi will stay here and become the Steelers head coach.
Well, there you go. Antonio emails us from Anchorage, Alaska. You guys ever been to Anchorage?
I've never been. I've been to 36 states. Alaska is not one of them.
We're getting a scream from Anchorage about Chris Boswell. Give the kicker some respect. Player of the game yesterday. Maybe he was the player of the game. Who would get your game ball yesterday? Martavis?
Oh, it's got to be Landry Jones. This is not overthink the obvious
the
here.
Boz?
Yeah, maybe James Harrison.
He's my defensive player of the game guy, and it's brought to you by Frank Walker Law, criminal defense attorney at frankwalkerlaw.com.
Like we worked together before.
Yeah. I mean, as far as defensively, Mike Mitchell.
Defensively, I'll go
there.
Mike Mitchell.
Maybe he was.
Okay, man, you take
or Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward was really good.
He's good every week.
Yeah, I like Cam Hayward way more than I like Mike Mitchell, so I'll say Cam Hayward.
We haven't talked about his second fine, this one for over $11,000.
Apparently, you can't go above that. You can double it and then keep fining him $11,000, so it's not going to go to $22,000 next week. Now, I saw a story on Pro Football Talk that suggested that the NFL is going to try to work with him.
Work with us, Cam.
Yeah, work with him to...
Quit embarrassing us and saying we're against cancer.
Come up with something else. I don't know. But he will not be fined more than $11,000 every week. But he has to just assume that $11,000 will not...
I really like Cam, and I liked Ironhead, although Ironhead was a wild card. I just wonder...
What was the story with the kid on the bicycle?
It was a newspaper boy.
Newspaper boy,
he threw
right?
Him in the hedges.
He lived by my uncle.
He picked him up and threw him in the hedges.
It was a Monroeville, yeah.
But my point is, where has this all been? Why all of a sudden now? I mean, he's been dead for 9 years, and why is he only taking now to do the platform or to try to bring awareness to it? I mean, where was all this before?
Yeah, I guess now he's becoming a star. He's becoming recognizable, and he's giving props to the guys who got him here. We'll hear from Cam later. My player of the game is James Harrison. That's why we're playing James Harrison's postgame sound. You guys don't like that pick?
No, I do like it. I like it.
Fumble got 37.
He was in there the whole game. Jones and, you know.
Give him credit for that. The snap count went way up.
We got Yager coming in tomorrow. Think about all the old guys' success.
Yadomir Yager.
He may be giving Sid lessons tomorrow. But James Harrison.
On what, 18-year-olds?
Oh, let's listen into a... Steelers linebacker James Harrison without Jarvis Jones, the Frank Walker Law player of the game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you know, we get a little tougher down there in red zone. You know, we gave up a few big plays here and there, but you know, we tightened it up and tried to keep them to field goals and instead of scoring, you know, 6 and 7. So, you know, we were able to do that. Like I said, you know, they got a bunch of yards, but the biggest thing that counts is the scoreboard at the end.
James, one more splash plays from the defense. Sacks, interceptions, fumble recoveries, things maybe the last couple of years weren't there. Could you talk about that?
I mean, we're playing better now. You know, guys had another year to be around each other, another year to learn the defense, getting more comfortable with the defense and, you know, all the situations that occur, you know, in the game and just, you know, playing them out and the guys doing their job.
James, you play a lot more than 25 snaps today?
I don't know. How many snaps did I play? I thought it was about 23.
94.
Sure. I think it might have been 23.
Talk about the forced fumble. Did that kind of turn things around?
You know, they did a screen, so I'm just trying to – they did an out-pass, rather. I'm just trying to get out there and, you know, make the tackle. You know, the DB, he's going to force him back into me and you know, just put as much, you know, force into it as I can and, you know, get him draw the ball loose, and I was able to do that.
James, what's it say about this team? I mean, you guys are in your third quarterback, fourth kicker, and you guys are still winning out there.
It's a team. You know, we go out there as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. You know, we would love to have everybody healthy, but in this game, people get hurt. And the next guy up has to come in there and perform and do his job, and the rest of the team has to be there to support that person and support each other. And I think right now we're doing a good job of playing together as a unit, as a whole team.
Is there something about your starting quarterback being out that psychologically is driving you guys at all?
It's just, to be honest with you, like I said, it's the next man up. You know, we would love to have Ben back, you know, but he's not there. So we're going to go with, you know, whoever it is and, you know, support them and you know, be behind them. And like I said, the rest of the team is going to rally and, you know, everyone's going to try and do their job and hopefully we'll come out on top.
Did you not like that call on the end zone there?
I didn't like that call at all. I was going to block the guy because Mike hadn't been touched down yet. So I don't see how they could call that. But you know, we'll see what happens Wednesday if I need to raise any hell.
Nobody's seen Landry in a regular season game. How do he look to you today?
Look good to me. You know, he's our quarterback now, so we're going to be there. We want to support him and rally behind him, and you know, it's the next man up mentality.
James, how do you feel physically compared to a couple years ago? Same as always?
Compared to a couple years ago, I probably feel the same, you know, as I did, you know, maybe 2010, something like that. You know, like I say, I'm healthier now than I have been in a number of years. I just feel good. God has praised me to be able to stay healthy. You know, he's watched over me. And like I said before, I'm just sitting around riding the bus, and I'm letting God drive it.
James Harrison riding the bus and letting God drive it. He tweeted out, God has praised me, and then, of course, people were jumping. How can he say God has praised him? It's, God has blessed him. Well, you know, you get little clips out on Twitter, and people get all upset. That's what he was trying to say. He was very chatty, though, yesterday.
Tend to stay away from God on Twitter. Seems to be a rather hyperbolic mix.
Yeah, well, Twitter is that indeed.
God is great. Beer is good. People are crazy.
Speaking of beer, Duffy's Beer brings you the morning show. He looks like in a great mood. His kids were around him there. He was asking his kids what they thought of the game, and his son said, I think we found a kicker. And so James said, I think we found a kicker. So he was in a great mood yesterday.
Is the locker room a safer place to be now that Troy's kids aren't there anymore?
Oh, my God. Unbelievably safer.
The little one almost cost me a, you know, PCL, MCL, ACL tear one time.
Last year, Paisios.
Yeah, him.
Was running full speed across the locker room and ran into James Harrison's kids. They knocked heads and both went backwards and, like, flopped over on their back, and the medical staff comes over. It was unbelievable.
Ed Hockley sent them both to the sidelines.
Yeah, they got dirt in their eye, I think.